listening to The Ram Report, presented by the Commonwealth Times and WVCW Radio.
We are back here on The Ram Report. Noah Fleischman alongside Ben Malikoff. Ben, great to be next to you again.
Yeah, man, it's finally good to be back and recording The Ram Report. I'm very excited.
How was your summer?
It was pretty good, actually. Got a lot of good experience interning in D.C., and I feel like it definitely prepared me for this upcoming season. How about you?
You know, working in a donut shop, making the money, you know, you got to get ready for the season.
But you're being humble. You also had a very nice play-by-play gig for a baseball team.
Yeah, summer league baseball, that was a good experience. Well, that'll help me throughout the season, you know, doing a couple ESPN Plus things and other things like that this afternoon.
Amazing experience. Amazing.
But, you know, Ben, we're back. Basketball season's back. It's finally that time of year here in Richmond where the Rams are on the floor. And last night, they were out there against Virginia State.
Yeah, they definitely were. I mean, it was just so good to finally be able to get back to the Siegel Center and watch a basketball game against another opponent for once. And VCU definitely played to expectations. I don't want to say surpassed expectations because now they're the 25th ranked team in the country. They're ranked number 25 in the AP poll. So it was always expected that they were going to beat any team that's not Division I at the very least.
Yeah, especially beat them by 37 last night. 90-53 was your final score at the Siegel Center against Virginia State, a team that really came in depleted. They lost all five starters after last year's season. They've got 10 newcomers. And to see at times that game was kind of close, within 20, within 15 at points. But then VCU blew the doors off at the end, going up by 37, putting all the freshmen in, letting everyone get a shot to play.
Yeah, the game started out really fast with Mikkel Sims. VCU won the tip and then immediately took it down for the layup. And I believe right after that was Virginia State's only actual lead. They led by 1 point right at the beginning there.
Yeah, they nailed a three to start it off. It was 3-2. And then ever past that, it was VCU. Virginia State held the lead for pretty much 48 seconds, according to the box score. Their biggest lead was one, VCU's biggest lead, 39 on the night. Wow. Two lead changes.
Yeah, only two lead changes. I mean, that's something that has to be, you know, very exciting for Coach Rhodes and his team. We weren't expecting lead changes in this game, but the offense did get off to a little bit of a slow start. They shot 31% from beyond the arc to begin the game. So, you know, I don't want to say I'm worried about this VCU offense at all, but we did see last year that the defense was usually on point. It was the offense that would struggle to get off to a fast start, and that's what hurt them in the tournament as well.
I mean, Coach Rhodes said last night after the game, he said they were excited. They came out. There was a couple turnovers just from being excited. They were out there playing against a new team for once. So, you know, you're taking a lot of shots. They're not all going to fall. And, you know, 31.3%, 5 of 16 from 3 in the first half. But then in the second half, almost 50% from beyond the arc. That is uncharacteristic of this VCU team, shooting 40% total on the night from 3. And, you know, there was a lot of key contributors to that. You know, Keyshawn Curry went 3 for 3 from beyond the arc. Bones Highland, 3 for 3 from beyond the arc. So, I mean, they've got shooters now. And this was something that really last year they would go 25% from 3, 20%, at times even less than that. And, you know, that is something that really hurt them, and especially in the tournament game last year.
Yeah, and maybe guys that we didn't expect to have such a breakout game, Keyshawn Curry, like you said, 14 points throughout the whole game. He made a big transition, Coach Rhodes was saying in the press conference, from his freshman to sophomore year, a guy who's been working super hard for his minutes. Are you expecting anything out of him this season?
I mean, it's another year. The only two graduates from last year's team. They are deep at guard again this year. So Keyshawn might get some minutes off the bench like he did last year. Probably a little bit more. But next year is really the year for Keyshawn Curry. His junior season after VC will graduate 5 seniors off of this year's roster. And I believe 4 of them are guards. So that's going to be a big time for him to step into maybe a starting role next year. But we can talk about that later in the year. But really, I was impressed with what I saw from the sophomore. Only 15 and a half minutes of playing time, 14 points. He's a guy, I remember last year, talking to some of the players. They said Keyshawn's the kind of guy that will literally put up a point a minute, and that's what he did last night.
He had nearly as many minutes as Malik Crowfield, the senior, and also had more minutes than the freshman Trey Clark. So you just have to assume that he's nearing those spots on the roster, at least in the depth, how close Trey Clark is to him, how much we're going to see those other freshmen play. But Keyshawn Curry might get a lot more minutes than he did last year. That's what I'm expecting at the very least. And it might not be necessarily when the game is close all the time, but I think Coach Rhodes is definitely getting more comfortable putting Keyshawn in, you know, more situations now.
Yeah, Keyshawn hit some tough shots last night. He went 3-for-3 from beyond the arc. He was the first guy to really get hot from three. He missed two shots, 5-of-7 from the field, both of them layups. So that's sort of maybe concerning at times. You know, you want to make your layups. As LeBron called Troy Daniels a layup for hitting his threes, everyone else just wanted to hit a layup to hit a layup. So Keyshawn, he's maybe some jitters at the beginning of the game, but for him it was 3-for-3 from three. I mean, you can't really ask anything more than that.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because during the press conference, Rhodes made that comparison to Troy Daniels and how hard both these players work during the offseason. I thought that was great, just because, one, a Troy Daniels comparison, but two, it just kind of makes you a little bit excited for what is upcoming for this player.
Yeah, Troy Daniels, Coach Rhodes made the comparison saying Troy had to wait his time. He played in Phoenix last year, not a lot of playing time sitting behind Devin Booker. He goes to L.A. this year with the Lakers and LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the whole super team sort of that is starting to build out there in L.A. with the Clippers also out there. And really, he worked his way into the rotation there, and that's something that Keyshawn Curry might be doing here, in the fact that he can hit a three. He's not as consistent as Troy Daniels was at VCU, who pretty much could hit 45% percentages from three. I mean, Keyshawn was 100% from three last night, but that's something that probably won't happen every night.
All right, let's focus on the freshman here for a second. And the one that everybody likes to talk about, Nashawn Bones Highland, the four-star recruit from Delaware. I believe he was ranked number one coming out of the state at one point. How do you feel like he played last night? For me personally, he came out aggressive, I felt like. Immediately took a three, he missed. But it just kind of gets the jitters away, you know, once you're able to take that first shot and just see it leave your hands. And then you kind of settle into it. He finished with 9 points on the night. I thought that he is already starting to make some serious improvements from what we saw in the black and gold game.
He's a shooter, and Coach Rhodes said he's a shooter after the game. You know, 3-from-6 from three, but the last three that he made all came in a row. He started off the night 0-for-3 from the field. Then he really was only all of his points came off the three, 3-for-7 total, missing a 1 2-point shot. But he got starters minutes. Vince Williams also got starters minutes. None of the starters played more than 19 minutes. Vince led the way with 21. Bones played 20 minutes compared to Marcus Evans playing 19 minutes. So really splitting the time evenly between the two point guards. And that's something that Bones will see some this year. I'd imagine seeing him play 12 to 15 minutes a night and giving Marcus some rest. Finally, he was healthy for the first time in his VCU career. But Bones really came out showing toward the end of the game that he can hit a three, but he's also sharing the ball. Late in the game, had an open layup. He turned around, passed it to Arnold Henderson, who's sitting behind the three-point line. The walk-on from Richmond hits the three and got the biggest cheer of the night from that crowd.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch. The crowd went wild after that shot, and it's just a feel-good story whenever you have a walk-on come onto a D1 team. Last year it was Dylan, now it's Henderson. I'm feeling very excited for, you know, just kind of what he brings to the community for VCU basketball as well. Hassan Ward, another big freshman name for this VCU team, the tallest player on this team. He had a big moment where he had a nice block early in the first half and then had another tip-in during VCU's 14-2 run during the first half as well. He's the tallest player on this team at 6'9". He's going to make an impact this year. Being in that position, being the tallest player on the team, he has to replace Michael Gilmore's minutes now, which wasn't necessarily a lot, but he is a freshman, and there's still a lot of time to make improvements. And you saw Coach Rhodes is always going up to him on the sideline, telling him what he needs to improve on for the next time he's out. I'm expecting a lot out of Hassan Ward.
Hassan Ward, a guy who picked up the sport of basketball less than 4 years ago on the court last night. He played 8 minutes and 11 seconds, fouled out. Some of those fouls he was called were a little, you know, too strict of a foul. Coach Rhodes was just telling him, forget about that one, move on to the next play. But after a while, you can't really move on when there's 5 fouls. But 2 points in the night, he had that nice tip in. I see a lot for the freshman. He's getting learning from some of the best in the business. You've got Marcus Santos Silva, who really learned quick between his freshman and sophomore year. That's something that I expect to see from Hassan Ward, who's going to have to learn quick between his freshman and sophomore year. Learning from Brent Scott, one of the best bigs coaches in the NCAA. And, you know, I mean, Hassan Ward, when you're 6'9" and you can learn to play basketball, and we got the coaches here at VCU that really can teach him the ways of the VCU style of play, I think he'll just be just fine.
And then there was also the lineup, a lot of different lineup changes that we saw on the court. What did you think of the Santos Silva, Corey Douglas kind of big look for VCU? It's not necessarily a very big VCU team with the Hassan Ward being the tallest player as a freshman. They even admitted that they're going to be playing a little small this season. But what did you think of that lineup going a little bigger?
I mean, the big lineup is good, but you know what I liked about the lineup changes was putting Mikel Sims at the four. He's not the biggest. He's really between a guard and a forward. That's how he's listed on the roster. He listed as a starter, as a guard. Started in the four last night. A guy that is actually very athletic. And so he was talking about after the game to where if he gets his takeaway, he doesn't have to give it to the point guard to push it up the court. He can push it up the court himself. He's able to hit a three. Coach Rhodes loves that they have a four that can really hit a three. So Gilmore did that last year. And, you know, they're going smaller on that end. But I think that actually will help out playing against teams that have bigger fours, bigger, maybe even bigger fives, because you can push the court and play a lot faster of an offense going that way and sort of tire the other teams out rather than maybe going the traditional route and just having two big guys in there.
Yeah, having a guy like Sims helps this lineup so much. Once again, Coach Rhodes is army. He's able to just come in, like you said, and hit a big three. There's a lot of guys on this team that can do that. A lot of guys that we're seeing can replace the starters. Are you feeling just as confident about how this team was last year where guys could replace each other? Do you feel the same way about this team? It's not much changed. A lot of new freshmen, but are you still feeling confident about guys who can replace starters and continue the success that was already on the floor?
Yeah, I feel like this year's team really not as much has changed, but I feel like they're a deeper lineup. You've got the sophomores like Vince Williams and Keyshawn Curry really learning from a year of playing time. Vince got thrown into the fire last year, really played well. Now this year, you've got a backup point guard that can hit a shot. That's Bones Highland. That's something that VCU really hasn't had the past couple of years. And, you know, something that we'll see later this week in the Commonwealth Times, Ryan Gruber wrote a nice story about. He basically breaks down each year, starting really around 2010, 2011 with Darius Theus as a backup point guard. And the fact that when VCU was making all the NCAA tournaments in a row, seven in a row, their backup point guard was almost just as good as the starting point guard. And that really fell off with Johnny Williams and Tyler May, and then last year with Marcus Evans and P.J. Byrd. So I think Marcus Evans, having Bones Island behind him, there's not much of a talent drop-off between the two. Both of them can hit pretty much any shot on the floor. And, you know, I think that's what probably would be the biggest key to success this year is how Bones Island can really replace Marcus on the floor for that 10 minutes, 15 minutes a night, just putting up maybe 8 points. Maybe 5 points a night, just putting points on the board and really running the offense, limiting turnovers. I think that'll really help VCU.
Bones has such a raw talent. He is still developing here at VCU, but with a healthy Marcus Evans, if he really is fully healed, if he really is, you know, the least injured that we've ever seen this Marcus Evans play at VCU, and then you get a Bones Highland who's continuing to develop, VCU has something that is very threatening to any other teams. We have a lot of big games coming up for VCU, including LSU coming to the Siegel Center. That could be a lineup that could potentially match with some of the best that come to face these VCU Rams.
I mean, Marcus Evans, 4-for-8 from the field on the night. 50%, that's pretty good from Evans. We didn't see much of that last year, playing through injury pretty much the entire season, recovering from his Achilles early in the year. Then late in the year in the A-10 tournament, he hurt his knee, so in the NCAA tournament, wasn't completely there. But, you know, he made the most of it last year, and this year it's great to see a healthy Marcus Evans on the floor, no limp in his step. We saw him play in the black and gold. We saw him play in the exhibition. So now it's really when these games start to matter and start to count next week on November 5th when we can see this full, healthy VCU lineup for the first time in a year.
We got to talk about some of the bad that happened last night, too. A lot of missed threes. We mentioned it a little bit earlier, but even Coach Rhodes had to point it out. It was open threes that the guys were missing. Are you worried about that at all? For me personally, I'm not too worried yet. I mean, this is just an exhibition game. I don't think that's anything to really hang your head over, but it's something that you need to keep in the back of your head. You need to continue to learn from those mistakes. The passes were there. I'm not too mad about the passes that were made. The open looks were there as well. But some of the threes were just not falling, and this VCU team needs more offense this year.
I mean, I don't really think that's going to be a big issue. I mean, they shot 50% from three in the second half. I mean, passing the ball went really well. They were moving the ball perfectly. There were some times where they were missing shots at the end of it, and Coach Rhodes was saying, you don't want to have to have your defense get the ball for you, work it up the floor, and then turn it over again. That's something that he wants to limit. 8 turnovers in the first half. They finished on the night with 14, so they limited a little bit in the second half. But he said, hey, we play an aggressive style of play. And the fact that when you're aggressive, you're going to turn the ball over, he just wants to reduce the amount of times the ball gets turned over. And Havoc forcing 24 turnovers on Virginia State, that just shows that they can really get the ball back even after they turn it over. 27 points scored off turnovers for VCU compared to the 6 of Virginia State, which all came in the second half. So, I mean, really, three-point shooting, even with the line moving back a foot and a half or whatever
point.
It
that's
is.
That's a good point.
I don't think that's going to affect how VCU shoots a three ball. They want to hit transition threes. They want to drain the three. And, you know, they lived and died by the three last year. NCAA tournament game, they went on a cold stretch, about 14 minutes between the first and second half, where they couldn't hit any shot. And that's really how they lost that game. So, I mean, as long as you can avoid a stretch like that, you'll be fine.
There's no doubt in my mind that most of the players on this team can shoot threes really well. It just, for some reason on this team, there seems to be very long, hot and cold periods. When one guy is hitting, then the rest of the guys are going to hit. If one guy begins the game and misses threes, we're going to take a while before we see anyone hit one again. And it's just about, you know, start getting that energy out there at the beginning. And if you start early and hit a three, it's probably going to be a good game for VCU.
Yeah, Coach Rhodes says that, you know, whenever one guy hits a three, it becomes contagious and everyone else starts. And, you know, when they notice that guys aren't hitting threes, this is something that last year they did, where they have a mental thing in their head. They're like, hey, we haven't hit this three in a couple possessions. How about we just take a couple twos, get the points back on the board, get the momentum rolling again, then try hitting a transition three or something and pulling the momentum your way. But I think the three ball, nothing to worry about there early on in the year. You don't want to really go super cold on it. But I feel like if they can average between 40 and 50% from three on the year, they'll be just fine.
Now, that starting lineup we saw yesterday, is that what we're going to see come game one? What are you thinking with that? Sims was in there. That was the surprise for me. And he is a senior, so we could expect him to see him start some games. For this VCU team, we're talking about how deep they are. This starting lineup could change pretty often. We'll see some same consistent players. Obviously, Marcus Evans will always be in it.
I mean, the lineup that we saw last night to start, I feel like we'll start against St. Francis November 5th. Just partly because Vince Williams coming off an off-season shoulder surgery just to clean things up on his shoulder. And he only had 6 full days of practice, full contact, everything clear before last night's game. And then Corey Douglas tweaked his foot over the off-season practice. He's fine. But even with those two guys coming back from injury, and Mikel Sims really showed that he can push the ball, get the ball quick like we saw that first possession, I think that's the lineup we'll see. It's a bit of a smaller lineup, but it's definitely a fast lineup with Marcus Evans, Mikel Sims, Deriante Jenkins, Isaac Van, and Marcus Santos Silva.
If things are working, then why make changes, you know? Don't just leave it how it is. But I would expect to see Vince Williams at some point maybe start a game or two for VCU. He's very essential to what they do.
I think it's all matchup-based and what Coach Rhodes thinks the best matchup is. And even with this Army-style approach, it really doesn't matter who starts on the floor. They get cycled in so fast throughout the game. No guy really plays more than 5 minutes except Marcus Evans, like, at a time. And even then, Marcus gets 8 minutes at a time, comes off. Bones will come in and play a couple minutes and transition.
Exactly.
They always want to play that Havoc defense. And having a full court trapping press, and, you know, that's something that they want to do more this year is trap the ball. Coach Rhodes said that the second team this year is better than last year, and that should give them more opportunities to trap more. We saw that last night. And with having all these guys that are athletic, fast, even Santos Silva being one of the bigger guys on the team, he's pretty athletic. And, I mean, you saw him at times even trying to help trap and trying to do stuff. So I feel like this team, doesn't matter if you're in the starting lineup or not, you're going to be a lot of crucial minutes.
That Havoc defense, it can make you tired, man. I mean, full court press the whole game. But it was fun to watch how quickly the freshmen got accustomed to playing in the Havoc defense. We saw Bones almost full court pressing the whole game. And even in the last minutes of the game, in an exhibition, VCU was continuing that full court press against Virginia State the whole game. It just shows you their dedication and how much they've been working towards this for during the offseason. That stood out to me. I know we've seen it from VCU before, but them continuing that, they're continuing what they learned last year. I think it shows a lot of development for this VCU team.
Yeah, I mean, they were running a lot of different combinations throughout the game last night. You always want to see who you've got, who works, plays well together. I feel like everyone plays well together no matter what combination you throw on the floor. That number two lineup that Rhodes was talking about really played well. That was a lot of youth, and then Malik Crowfield being the lone senior in that lineup with Vince Williams, Keyshawn Curry, Bones Highland, and Hassan Ward. That lineup played really well together. I feel like the freshman that will get the most playing time will be Highland and Ward, the two guys that will make the biggest impact this season. But pressing the whole game, that's VCU's style. They don't care if they're up by 40 or down by 40. They're gonna press and trap until you turn the ball over.
Now, for VCU, they have a tough A-10 this year. A tough A-10, right? I mean, this is going to be a much different Atlantic 10 than we've seen in the past. Who's going to be this toughest opponent for VCU? For me right now, it's between Davidson and Dayton. Those two teams are looking very tough. I think VCU still has the advantage over them, but you really never know, depending on where the games are played, if guys are injured. I think those are going to be VCU's toughest two opponents. They were even potentially gaining some traction in national rankings as well at one point. They just missed VCU barely making it as well. I think that those are the two teams that are going to give VCU the most trouble this season.
I mean, yeah, VCU came in at number one in the preseason poll in the A-10. Davidson was two, Dayton was three. That order could really be flipped no matter how you put it. Dayton could be one, VCU two, Davidson three. And no matter what way, they're all that close. But the biggest test for this team was early in the year, LSU. That's going to be a good litmus test for VCU, saying, how ready are we for A-10 play? How ready are we to face Davidson? How ready is this Rams lineup ready to go into a hostile environment? Even though they're playing LSU here at home, I still think that's a good big game for them early in the year before they get to face a Davidson, a Dayton, or someone even like that.
Yeah, that LSU game is going to tell us pretty much what this VCU team is made of. That is such a big game. Someone said to me a few days ago that this is the biggest game we have seen VCU play since at least we've been here. I'm a junior now. You're a sophomore. I know this is your second season, my third, so we haven't been able to be here for too many of those big games yet. But in recent years, do you agree with that statement that this is the biggest game this VCU team has played?
It's a ranked matchup. Two guys, two teams coming in. LSU currently 22, VCU 25. Sure. It's a big matchup. I mean, VCU wins, they move up the rankings. VCU loses, I feel like it doesn't really hurt their stock too much, as long as you don't lose by 40 like Virginia State did last night. But it's a big game, yeah. I don't know, is it the biggest game in recent years? Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I don't know, because, you know, you played Texas at home a couple years ago, you played UVA here, you played UVA last year in their national championship run. And that was a game against UVA in Charlottesville where VCU had a legitimate shot to win that game. The referees sort of helped the Cavaliers win it at the end with a 5-point play, something I've never seen before. But, yeah, I'd say this could be one of the bigger games at home in recent years for VCU.
At the time, that Texas game was considered one of those as well, with Shaka Smart coming back to the Siegel Center. But that VCU team wasn't considered to be as good as this one now, potentially. And then the UVA one last year, we were expecting, you know, to make the tournament. At least that was my expectation for this VCU team at the time. So I was expecting, but I wasn't saying that they should beat number one UVA in Charlottesville. That's the difference. When Texas came to the Siegel Center, I wasn't entirely confident that VCU could beat Shaka Smart at the Siegel Center.
And they didn't. And Mo Bamba really put on a show. But last year, they go down to Texas. They beat the Longhorns in Austin. That was sort of a big statement win for VCU last year that helped them make the NCAA tournament a year ago. But you know, it's a new season. They play LSU here this year. They go to Baton Rouge next year. And with Coach Wade returning, it's going to be a hostile environment in the Siegel Center. It's going to be another sold-out crowd. It's probably going to be hard to even get a general admission ticket. It's going to be one of the probably the best atmosphere at a VCU home game this season. And, you know, I think it's going to be something cool to witness. And if as long as the play on the court stays close, the atmosphere will be there. And, you know, this VCU team really feeds off the atmosphere of the Siegel Center. And so if the Siegel Center crowd is loud and on their feet for most of the game, which I imagine will happen, then this VCU team will get loud. And no matter what happens, a turnover, a travel, you will see these players trying to hype the crowd up and trying to get the crowd back into it.
You know, I have no doubt about any of that. But for VCU, the expectation now, for me at least, is that number 25 in the nation, you said they can compete. I think that they can beat LSU at home. I think that is a reasonable expectation to set for VCU. The difference in the past 2 years, I wasn't expecting VCU to beat Texas at home. I did not think that VCU team was good enough to beat Mo Bamba and that big Texas lineup who eventually went to the NCAA tournament that year. When they went to Texas last year, I was expecting a little bit more. That Texas team was a little bit on the decline. They lost a lot of their good players. I wasn't expecting VCU to beat number one UVA in Charlottesville. I'm not sure if they were number one at the time, but
they were
in the top five.
Four, number five at the time.
They were top five in the nation. They made it close. They made it really close. 25 versus 22 at the Siegel Center. I'm expecting VCU to win that matchup.
Yeah, that's something that VCU really is going to look forward. But they take this thing one game at a time. The mindset last year was, hey, they were picked 7th in the A-10. This year, they're picked number 1. But after the game last night, they asked Mikel Sims about that. He said, they're looking at the same way as last year. They're trying to go out there, be the number 7 team in the A-10, and go make some upsets. Or upsets in their mind, right? You know, last year, they were picked 7th. They weren't even supposed to win the conference. They weren't even supposed to get to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, they made it. They won the regular season title. They had an early exit in the A-10 tournament that was due to injuries and whatnot. But you know what? This year, this is a team that has that same mentality. Add the pieces that they got this year, it's going to be a dangerous VCU team. And as Coach Rhodes said, he goes, they don't want to be the hunted ones. They want to be the ones doing the hunting. And I feel like that hunting will really get a good test against LSU.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear the guys say, or not let the 25 ranking go to their head immediately.
Well, I mean, 25, that means there's 24 teams in front of you.
Exactly.
You're not number one. And so there's always something for these guys to really be pushing for. And, you know, Marcus Sevens was named to the defensive team, but he voiced that opinion on Twitter saying, hey, I shouldn't really be on this defensive team when somebody else on the team really guards the number one scorer. He's referencing Isaac Van there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the A-10 has against Isaac Van.
They're
but
saying they still have a lot to prove here, which I 100% agree with.
The defensive team and whatnot, that we can talk about. And the fact that that's voted by coaches in the media, they look at a lot of statistics there. Isaac Van's stats don't jump off the page like Marcus Evans do. But Isaac Van really is a big defensive player for this VCU team. And that mentality of him, even his mind, saying, hey, they're doubting you. They don't think you're the best defensive player in the A-10, which, you know, a lot of this VCU lineup thinks, hey, Marcus Evans and Isaac Van together are probably the top two or top three defensive players in the A-10.
Yeah. It's a good point that you bring up about what Isaac Van can do, at least on the defensive side, that doesn't show on the stat sheet. When he comes up with a huge defensive play, maybe not a block, but he's just able to stop someone from scoring. Usually their best player on the team. So it's a good point they bring up, but I think Isaac's going to keep that in the back of his head for the rest of the season and maybe use that as motivation. They're finding other ways, other things to use as motivation now, not being ranked 7th in the A-10. I think that's huge for these guys because they know it. For what Mikel Sims said last night, somebody said last night, that when teams come to the Siegel Center, it's their Super Bowl. It's the biggest game of the season for those guys.
No matter if they come here or if VCU travels to them. It's the Super. He's right. The arena will be packed no matter where they go. I don't care if it's to George Mason, if it's to when they go down to Niceville, Florida, and play against Purdue and play against some of the top teams in the country, Purdue, Florida State, and Tennessee. It's going to be every team's Super Bowl. And I mean, he's not wrong. And it's VCU's mindset is, hey, the target's on their back, but yet they want to do the hunting and they want to prove to everybody that they're the best team in the Atlantic 10.
They definitely have some proving to do still, but I believe that this VCU team can seriously compete with the best. There's still a lot we have to see. Their first game comes up against St. Francis. That's on November 5th, election night here in Virginia, 7 p.m. at the Siegel Center. It's a big first game. You know, you're expecting a win, obviously, but are you expecting a blowout in that game? What do you just want to see from that VCU team in the first home game, the first game of the season?
I mean, I want to see this VCU team come out, put points on the board, really play their style of play. And honestly, VCU probably, you don't want them to come out and think, hey, we've got this one in the bag, because that's pretty much a team's biggest weakness is coming out and being cocky. And I don't see this VCU team being like that. It's a team that takes one game at a time, treats every opponent the same. I don't care if you're number one in the country or unranked. If you're the worst team in the country, they're going to treat you just the same. And so this VCU team, I expect a win out of them in that game. And I think they expect a win out of the game themselves. And I don't know what the score will be. I think I've got to look at the red flash a little more. But I do know that Coach Rhodes will have his guys prepared for that game on November 5th on election night to kick things off at the Siegel Center.
Thanks for joining us on the Ram Report Season 2, Episode 1. I'm Ben Malikoff, Noah Fleischman. Next time, a season opener preview against St. Francis when they come to the Siegel Center. It's VCU's first game of the season. New episodes every Sunday. Once again, thank you so much for joining us.